This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Vladimir Putin was front and center in Moscow today, thanking his military for stopping what he called a civil war after a weekend uprising by Wagner mercenaries. The country has closed a criminal case against the group's leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin. Correspondent Christina Ruffini has more.
It's still very unclear exactly what is happening, how this is going to play out. You know, now there seems to be an agreement that the Wagner group will operate from Minsk, but this is a group that has tentacles all over the world, including a lot of holdings and a lot of resources in places like Africa, you know, throughout the war in Ukraine.
Belarus has just confirmed Prigozhin arrived there today. Legal analysts say it could be a smoking gun. CBS News has obtained audio of former President Trump showing what were believed to be classified documents to people at his golf club in New Jersey 2 years ago. CBS's Catherine Herridge reports from Washington.
In the special counsel's indictment, they're described as a publisher, a writer, and two staffers. It was part of an effort to pull together a biography for his former chief of staff, so they did not have security clearances.
A new report documents 20% of our political leaders have direct links to what's often referred to as this country's original sin. CBS's Jim Krasula.
An examination of genealogies of America's political elite found that at least 100 of the 536 members of the last Congress are direct descendants of ancestors who owned slaves. President Joe Biden and every living former U.S. president except Donald Trump are direct descendants of slave owners. The same for two of the nine sitting U.S. Supreme Court justices and 11 of the 50 U.S. governors.
The first U.N. investigator to visit the U.S. detention center at Guantanamo Bay is reporting cruel punishment. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has that story.
Investigator Fanula Nialine says the detainees are subject to inhumane and degrading treatment.
After 2 decades of custody, the suffering of those detained is profound and it's ongoing.
Her visit was the first time a U.S. administration has allowed a U.N. investigator to visit the facility. About 30 prisoners remain there.
Scorching heat is spreading out to more states. Meteorologist Stephanie Abrams at the Weather Channel.
We'll be about 5 to 15 degrees above average from Louisiana to Arizona. In fact, some of our high temperatures will actually set records.
Severe storms are causing headaches for travelers. Thousands of flights were canceled or delayed yesterday. So far, well over 2,000 have been affected today, most along the East Coast. The Dow is up 54 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Wisconsin DNR has issued an air quality advisory through noon on Thursday due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The DNR said the heaviest smoke arrives today across Wisconsin. When air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. One person is dead and 3 people are hurt after a crash in northern Grant County Sunday evening. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said a 73-year-old woman was killed and 3 others, including 2 children, were hurt after their vehicle was hit by a pickup truck that had crossed the center line on Highway 18 near Patch Grove. 57-year-old Benjamin Seeger was taken into custody on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and marijuana and is being recommended for multiple charges, including homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. And the La Crosse County Sheriff's Office said a body that was found in the Mississippi River on June 20th was in the water for about 5 years, according to a forensic anthropologist. The Sheriff's Office said the person may have been hunting before going missing. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All into wins, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media. 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
93.5 The Tap.
Graham, you can also find social media for specific shows and hosts.
Flatbread, unless there's goat cheese on it. Pine nuts.
Wow, someone went to private school.
They knocked down the original building, which was just a building, and then they built an actual castle, and it is gorgeous. Every time a friend of mine from out of town comes, I take him there because I'm that much of a podunk hick.
Magic people, voodoo people. Ooh, I like this one.
This is The Prodigy.
The Prodigy. Okay. Yep. Jane, what do you, how do you rate this one?
Oh, I'm having a ball.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Have you thought much about how you personally are going to deal with the onslaught of AI in the next election? 844-967-2789. You know, in the same way in 2008, all of a sudden there was social media and Facebook and things to deal with in the that election. The 2024 presidential race is going to be the AI election. And there's very little evidence so far that there's going to be any regulation ahead of time, whether that's through laws and the government or self-regulation from any of the tech companies. And so it feels like it's just going to be on our shoulders to start to like figure out what is true, what is not true. And I'm just curious if you've thought about this and how you even deal with it today with misinformation when you are trying to get the news. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this very smoky Tuesday. Holy moly, Greg Bach. Can you breathe when you're outside right now, or is it a little hard?
Well, we're coming from outside. I'm just kidding. No, yeah, this is weird.
It is weird, right?
It's because it's not like it's misty. It's you feel like you're walking through something.
Yeah, like walking out into the yard today to walk the dog. I was like, well, it smells like a campfire, and it is hazy. So make sure you are checking the air advisories in your location and maybe spend less time outside if you don't have to be outside, because I don't think this is good for anyone, let alone if you have any health conditions or asthma or the like. But Greg, what do you think? What do you, how do you think you're going to deal with all the AI disinformation that's coming down the pipe?
I just, well, first of all, I just have this idea that if you tell me, if you're honest enough to tell me it's made with AI, I'm going to be like, well, I don't believe it to begin with. Like, I don't know. I just, I won't trust it. I won't, I don't feel, it's, and it's not a, the robots are taking over, or as, you know, Mr. Rogers says, the robots. It is, it's such a technology in its mass infancy. It's, I should say, it's to the masses in its infancy, that before it could ever become trusted or something that's not almost laughable in its design, you're going to be like, I it's going to be a few years before I'm like, all right, I'll trust you. I want to hear it from a
But isn't person. The point that you don't, you won't be able to recognize it as AI?
Well, yes, but nowadays no one will shut up about how much it's AI. They're like, oh, we made this commercial with AI. I'm like, yeah, you all, that was a political commercial. That's scary. You know what I mean? Like, no one's, at this point, I haven't come across anyone digging up a thing of like, oh, this ad or this commercial or this news story is totally AI generated and nothing's, like, there was no submersible.
Fair enough. So I'm bringing this up because there was the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado happened, and this was a big topic there. And it basically is talking about how artificial intelligence and generative bots like ChatGPT are basically, as of right now, poised to upend modern American politics. And it's kind of the new, the 2.0 version of what happened when social media reset the playbook in 2008. And of course, for the, you know, the doomers out there, this is a huge red flag as far as what does this mean for democracy. And it's like the idea that the campaigns that could happen, like could come out, are going to be full of false information for anyone that can even generate it. Is, and like every side, every grassroots, every politician is going to have access to be able to use generative AI to do harm to their opponents, because there is now going to be, stick with me, new open source technology. One's been released by Meta, and it's known as, this feels like the conversation where we were talking, this is a couple weeks ago, we were talking about weird names.
Yeah.
It's LLAMA, but it's capital L, capital L, lowercase a, capital M, A. So, llama?
I want a llama.
But I always, from my Spanish, the little Spanish I took in high school, a double L, I think, is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yana.
So, is it llama? Yeah. I don't know, but there
me
is a new...
Me and my llama. Me and my llama.
There's a new... But it makes it possible for anyone in their basement to create far-reaching and fake influence campaigns.
That doesn't sound good.
I know. And so these different people at this this Ideas Fest in Aspen, Ron Klain, who is a former chief of staff to President Biden, said that campaigns are going to need to shift their approach to counter AI. He pointed to how Ron DeSantis and the RNC have already used fake images to attack Biden so far. And so, like, what they think they know they need to do is just, like, get Biden out there and, like, connecting with people directly. But I'm trying to think for you personally, you at home listening, like, how do you navigate this? Like, what do you even do today? And we've kind of talked about this before. So I was like, what news do you trust? But it's, this takes it to an even greater level of how do you manage to try to navigate the news cycle and understand what's real and what's not and what's true and what's not? Do you just have like your sources that you trust, or like what are the check points that you've already put in place to like be able to verify? Because like I don't even know for myself. Like I have the things that I check, and I, you know, this is kind of the balance I feel like sometimes with like the criticisms of mainstream media is that they're owned by bigger companies and they have an agenda and blah 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 and private equity and yada yada yada. But also like they also have to go through like rigorous fact checking, like the New York Times. As we, I know when Dan Schaefer, who is going to be joining the show at 10:30 today from the recombobulation area, when he had his piece published in the New York Times last fall, he was talking about like the editing process was intense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With the New York Times. So like some of these publications that like their reputation, this is, they live and die by their reputation. you can trust that there is also like a fact-checking process versus just things that get released by anybody who has access to a social media platform. And so I'm really interested in hearing from you on if you feel prepared for this next election cycle and what kind of information, misinformation, and disinformation is going to be thrown at you. 844-967-2789. We got Tony Zimmerman saying a lot of things on our Facebook live stream, which you are always welcome to watch. Watch us, in addition to listen to us, on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, which you can find at As Goes Wisconsin. Tony Zimmerman saying, very surprised Trump didn't claim the new audio about top secret documents wasn't fake and generated by some AI.
Well, now he's going to. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, way to give him some tips. But that's actually a good point, because now it becomes the both sides of you can create something out of nothing, but also real something that actually happened. You could like, well, that's actually fake. Like, who's going to be the arbiter of like what is real and what is not?
I mean, that's the thing. No, I mean, no one can be, because Dolly Parton, let's just go back to her. Cause honestly, like it's the thing is, if I say it, someone's going to say, well, you're a liberal snowflake, of course you're going to say that's fake. Or if it's someone on the right, we're not going to trust them. So who is trusted enough to do that?
I know.
Walter Cronkite's dead. We can't trust him. He's dead. And most people don't know who I'm talking about right there.
No, I bet most of the listeners who are listening to the show live right now definitely know who Walter Cronkite is.
I'm talking to our Zoomers right now who are listening.
I don't know how many Zoomers listen to this show. I got to be totally honest. I like whenever I look at what I can tell on social media from demographics who follow As Goes Wisconsin, it's like mostly millennial, Gen X.
Yeah.
Some boomer. I've yet to reach the Gen Z, unless they're super into politics, I've realized.
Yeah, totally.
But we would love to hear from you. I got a couple more things from Joe and Tony that I want to read, but would love to hear from you of how are you planning to deal with the upcoming onslaught of AI? And does some of it just want to make you just tap out entirely? I'd be like, I'm going to trust my gut instinct. I'm just going to keep getting news where I get news from and not worry about the noise. But it's coming, whether we like it or not. And big tech is only dialing back its misinformation policy. Like this is YouTube, Twitter, like across the board, things that were put in place around COVID and election denial and stuff. A lot of those policies are getting rolled back. And so what are you going to do? Because you can't just wait for Congress to do something. We can't just wait for big tech to necessarily regulate itself. But I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And we'll end on this before we go to a break. Joe McClear says on the Facebook live stream, I just asked ChatGPT, how should I deal with AI in the 2024 election? It said, don't worry, we'll take good care of you, future human battery.
Ooh, the Matrix.
All right, we got to take a break, but we would love to hear from you on this topic. 844-967-2789. How are you going to deal with AI during this next election? 844-96-PARTY. We will be right back.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. All
Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mostly sunny today and still a little hazy from those Canadian wildfires. 84 the high this afternoon. The wind west becoming southwesterly this afternoon, 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of scattered thunderstorms and a high right around 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
A man, he's not an evil alien from outer space, he's an Earthman. Mark Zuckerberg speaks the words he'd instruct and we'd learn. He will annihilate the past and usher us into the metaverse. The metaverse. The metaverse. Rejoice, rejoice, cause we're going into the metaverse.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and we once again are joined by Greg Bach, filling in for Jane Mattenair today.
Hello.
What song were we just listening to?
That was a song called The Metaverse.
What? Who made by?
Some guy on the internet.
Oh my gosh.
His name is Andre something or other, but I when I found it immediately, I'm like, it's like 2.5 minutes long, and you need to watch the video because it's art.
Is it?
Oh, it is.
It's not satire. It's art.
Oh, it's, can it be both?
I guess it can be both.
Isn't all art satire and all satire art?
I guess, but I'm saying, like, is it visually?
It's hilarious.
Aesthetic, or yeah, so it's fun. It's meant to be funny.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Have we had an update on if and when Elon and Zuck are gonna fight?
God.
It was like all the rage last week, but I haven't heard if there's actually any movement happening with that.
Probably not. Wasn't it Elon who challenged Zuck? Because Zuck doesn't sound like the kind of guy who's going to say that out loud.
Yes. And Elon challenged Zuck, and Zuck's response was, send me location, brah. I think I added the brah.
I mean, the thing is, he's trying so hard to get out of his shell as a quiet boy, but I'm afraid that Zuck would murder him. I've seen Zuck train.
Yes, but I also feel like Elon, Elon's got that dad strength, the dad strength of having 11 children.
Do you think he does any? Do you think he can you right now? Do you think he'd call Elon Musk and be like, name all 11 of your children's name? No, not even close.
But anyways, so we've been talking. I would still love to hear from you as far as if you've thought about this. How you're going to deal with AI in the 2024 election, because it's coming. There is no sign that there is going to be any kind of regulation or self-monitoring of it. Anyone who can, any of the grassroots groups, the PACs, the campaigns that can use it, likely will use it. And so what's left is like personal responsibility to not find yourself totally susceptible to everything you see and read and hear, but like some stuff has to be true. So how are we going to navigate this as a society? And what have you thought about this? Or is this the first time anyone has brought it up to you? 844-967-2789. Tony Zimmerman on the Facebook live stream says, I need to see something reported from multiple places rather than a single source, which could be faked or duped by AI. And I think that's smart. I think that's sometimes when I see something that everyone's talking about and multiple sources are talking about as a big story versus like a one-off thing that gets sent to me, it's always, that's where more like media literacy comes into play, where it's like, is there a reason that the bigger guys are not covering this? That is, they just don't think it's a big enough story. They couldn't verify it. Or why is only this one niche outlet talking about this in this way and like trying to be, use some critical thinking when you don't see it more often. All right, we got someone on the phone, Greg. We got Eric from Tosa. What do you think?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say I really picked up the phone real quick to call and announce that allegedly Elon Musk's mother has called off the fight.
Really? How does that work? So Elon still takes directions from his mom.
And that was why there was a mocking post of some kind saying something about he took directions from his mom and there will be no fight.
Wow. That's a win for moms everywhere, I think. If the richest man in the world and arguably one of the biggest trolls in the world still listens to his mom, that I think bodes well for mothers everywhere. Right?
Thank you for the call, Eric.
Oh, really quickly though, I'd like to stay on the AI.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I personally believe the key to surviving these elections, I guess, until we have some sort of regulation, which the cat's out of the bag, so it'll probably never occur, the key phrase for me is due diligence. When you see something, don't believe it off firsthand, don't go with it, go back and look for a second, third, fourth source, whatever it may be, because what they do, they know that all they're doing with AI is they're feeding into biases. And so people mm-hmm. that are completely biased and roll with it are just going to jump to it and jump on it. They put a kernel of truth in there and then spin it out of control. And if it fits your narrative, they know that a certain number of people are going to do no due diligence and just run with it. And that's how it works. But due diligence destroys disinformation, I'll say.
Absolutely. Thank
you. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Eric.
Thanks, Garrick.
Again, that's why some of this is personal responsibility of your and your own media literacy, because we love to find nuggets and news articles that agree with our predisposition.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm guilty of that.
And you know, when you like instinctively want to share something, like think about the things that you're like, because it makes you laugh, it makes you feel something, it agrees with your vision of the world versus, you know, I know because I say it all the time. And I think it's a really good thing to follow whatever social media platform you find yourself on the most, especially if you use them to take in information. So it's Instagram, it's Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. Follow accounts that specifically you don't agree with. So, like, I follow Breitbart, I follow Daily Wire, I follow a lot of accounts that I don't like what they put out into the world, and I have, like, a knee-jerk reaction when I see it, but it's still good to see what they're feeding people, and, like, the same impulse of the things that I do follow, that I do find interesting, that do agree with my worldview, like, they do that for other people. And so, just notice the things that you want to share versus the things you immediately reject. And maybe that can be part of that due diligence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer on childcare, budget, and maybe a little where we are in Milwaukee with the vote for the sales tax. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Special Report. Breaking news from Washington. The Supreme Court has ruled 6-3 against Republicans in a dispute over North Carolina's congressional map. Justices say the state's highest court did not overstep its bounds when it struck down a districting plan as excessively partisan. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The voting rights case isn't discussed as often as the others, but it has national significance because the pandemic resulted in state courts and election officials changing the rules for federal elections.
The justices rejected the broadest view of a legal theory that could have transformed elections for Congress and president by leaving state legislatures virtually unchecked by their state courts. CBS's Major Garrett is at the Supreme Court.
What it basically said is state constitutions must be respected. State courts imposing the requirements of that state constitution must also be respected, and state legislatures have rights too.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. One person is dead and three people are hurt after a crash in northern Grant County Sunday evening. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said a 73-year-old woman was killed and three others, including two children, were hurt after their vehicle was hit by a pickup truck that had crossed the center line on Highway 18 near Patch Grove. 57-year-old Benjamin Steger was taken into custody on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and marijuana and is being recommended for multiple charges, including homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. Several sheep were killed when a semi-truck overturned yesterday evening in Eau Claire. According to the Eau Claire Police Department, the truck crashed and rolled over on Highway 53 near Claremont Avenue. Over 100 sheep escaped from the trailer, some fleeing up to a half mile away, but all were eventually caught. And the La Crosse County Sheriff's Office said a body that was found on the Mississippi River on June 20th was in the water for about 5 years, according to a forensic anthropologist. The Sheriff's Office said the person may have been hunting before going into the water. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Today, and we are kicking off our new weekly segment. It's official instead of sporadic. Dan Schaefer is going to recombobulate with us on Tuesdays at 10:30. starting today. How you doing, Dan?
Nope.
Oh, you are muted, friend.
Sorry about that. It's been a little while. I was a little discombobulated, but you helped me out there. We're here for our weekly recombobulation segment. I'm very excited we got this figured out. I'm going to be joining you every Tuesday. I'm very excited.
Yeah, no, it'll be a fun way to start the week as far as talking what's been going on in Milwaukee, what's been going on in the state. Probably could have been used this a little earlier considering how much has been happening in Milwaukee and the state, and trying to break down the budget cycle and the negotiations. But we're in the final stretch of that. And so I know, let's start with something I think you and I were equally angry about, although we can't really measure it, but and may not be totally dead or over yet, but a week and a half ago, so Thursday before last, in the middle of the night, the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee decided to totally discontinue, gut, whatever adjective or verb you want to use, the Child Care Accounts program, and instead put a rotating or revolving $15 million loan instead of actually continuing with the subsidies that would and have been keeping childcare centers afloat during this crisis of childcare. Now, you've written some follow-up pieces of and have talked more with some of the biggest, like the larger organizers, trying to make sure that this doesn't just die in the middle of the night. What have you heard, and what is the most up to date as far as, like, could there even be a strike?
Yeah, so I went to the rally a week ago that child care providers and advocates and parents, it was actually mostly parents who were at that rally at the Capitol in Madison last Tuesday morning. Talked to a bunch of people just really to, you know, figure out what the response was going to be after Republicans voted to gut this funding that had really been successful. It had stabilized a system that has been in decline for a long time. Obviously, childcare providers didn't have a great time during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But this is a problem that dates back a long time. You know, one of the providers I was talking to was saying that, you know, we've lost 5,000 family care providers since 2007. And for the first time since then, you know, this funding from the federal government through the pandemic relief really stabilized this program, allowed people to raise wages, keep rates low, keep a lot of these childcare facilities open. And now, the Republicans voted to gut all of the $340 million that the governor had proposed for this program. So now we're looking at a difficult situation where, you know, some studies have said 25% of all childcare facilities will close as a result of this action. A new study last week said it would be about 2,000 childcare centers that would close as a reaction to this. One of the top organizers I talked to said within the next 6 to 9 months that she expects 1,000 childcare providers to close. You know, the study said this would directly impact 87,000 children. And so I really think, you know, this is such a big deal. The system as it is barely hanging on. And without this funding, you know, anything that has stabilized over the last couple of years with this funding is going to be lost. So, you know, it's, I think you look at these pandemic era programs that popped up to provide relief to people. Most of them are winding down right now, but we have a program here that worked. It was successful. Mm-hmm. It did stabilize the system. It kept these places open. And now without it, you know, we have the budget surplus. We can fund this program without raising anyone's taxes or doing anything like that. And now the Republicans of the state are creating a childcare crisis by denying the extension of this funding.
And it's so frustrating. But there is still a chance that this week Democrats are going to introduce an amendment.
Right.
And I think there's even more action happening today. Or was I reading that wrong?
Yeah, so child care providers have been, you've been reaching out to their network, a lot of these organizers, Corrine Hendrickson with the group called We Can. She's also the owner and operator of a child care facility in New Glarus. She's been kind of the point person on a lot of this. She's been reaching out, encouraging people to call their legislators to vote yes on this amendment, or even vote yes on having a vote for this amendment. Yeah. Because my understanding is the way the process would work here is that, you know, Democrats can introduce an amendment, but Republicans can block that amendment. And they have signaled all along that they're have really no interest in taking up this funding for childcare and extending this program. And, you know, there are reports out of the AP this morning that said Senate leadership, which I believe is planning to take up the budget vote tomorrow, is not projecting any major changes to what was passed out of the Joint Finance Committee. So, and nevertheless, there can be a vote on this amendment, and people are being encouraged to call their representatives, contact them, and ask them to vote yes on this amendment to extend childcare.
And you made this point, and I would be interested to hear if anyone had a good answer to it. But you pointed out, I think on Twitter, what is the business community's response to this? Because everything I know about this crisis is it is a three-pegged stool, right? There is the family's responsibility, but there's also a government's responsibility, and there's also a business responsibility, because this affects businesses directly. Have you heard anything from some of the biggest employers? Like, I've seen some op-eds prior to this written by business leaders who are acknowledging that we need to be innovative in how we fix this. I've read some one-off cases where a community came together and was able to solve this. But have you heard anything since the Thursday this all went down from kind of the private sector as far as their reaction to this at all?
Yeah, not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Cool.
Which I think is so disappointing, because I think there were a few op-eds in the Journal Sentinel from people in the mm-hmm. private sector, people in the nonprofit world who were speaking out and saying, you know, alerting people to the reality that could come without this funding and without an investment in childcare. And I think this is going to cause people to leave the workforce if they're not able to provide and not able to find quality childcare for their children. This is going to fall particularly on women, as it always does in these types of situations. And there has really been no significant response from the business community. They're allied with the Republican Party in this state, and they don't seem interested in crossing Robin Voss and company in the state legislature, which is so disappointing. And I think, you know, the workforce shortage that we always hear about from, you know, the top business groups in the state, well, they're creating a much worse one now, because you're not going to be able to have people in the workforce because they'll be home with their kids or working part-time jobs or doing various different things and not being full-time participants in the economy. And I think the one study that came out last week estimated that this would amount to, I think, $232 million in lost economic impact or lost wages for parents across Wisconsin. Again, like you said, not really any response from the business community on this issue.
Great.
We are just going backwards. I mean, what we were talking about last week is like sending women back to the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. It's like, it's all they want. It's all they want.
But it's very short-sighted. And yeah. I think that's the thing. It's like, yeah, ideologically, if that is how you think the order of the world should work, it's one thing, but it's also not the world we live in. And it's also, I contend that for a lot of families, and we talked about this, I think last week or even 2 weeks ago when this first came down, it's also not the reality for even decades ago. My mom worked, my grandmothers worked. Like, women have always worked and figured this out, but it's also just the combination and the fact that wages have not kept up with living costs. And so people aren't making enough to be able to afford the price hikes of what it takes to run these centers. And like, things are just broken right now. And there's actual solutions being put forward of how we can try to fix it. And yet we don't want to.
Well, and this program did work too. And I think so much of the challenge for a lot of these childcare providers is wages. Yep. And I think, you know, as wages have gone up for a lot of other jobs in that kind of pay range, it's made it more difficult for childcare providers to retain people in the industry. You know, the childcare counts funding raised average wages for childcare for early educators in Wisconsin from $10.66 an hour to $12.66 an hour. That was the big increase, the $2 per hour. That's still terrible.
Terrible.
You know, that's still really, really bad. You know, you talk to and meet anybody who works with kids and they're underpaid. And, you know, particularly, you know, these are people working with infants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a crucial age for child development for so many reasons, and having some stability in the childcare system would just go such a long way to making a difference for families across the state. And for really no reason at all. I have not heard a good reason articulated as to why this funding should disappear at this particular moment, other than the fact that, well, it was pandemic era funding. Mm-hmm. So like other pandemic era programs, it should wind down. We'll talk to any provider or somebody who's been in the mix on trying to get legislation passed on this, and they will tell you that that is not the case. And they're adamant and passionate about that and saying that is not the case. So this is just a long running problem that we are, again, choosing to ignore and do nothing, even as we have this $7 billion surplus, this generational opportunity to make investments in Wisconsin. And look across the border to the west, Minnesota is putting more than $750 million towards childcare. If you're starting a young family and you have the option of living in Wisconsin or Minnesota, why would any of them choose Wisconsin right now?
Well, some of us have to because we started an entire brand called As Goes Wisconsin, and I don't really want to start something new called As Goes Minnesota.
I feel like it's fertile ground. You could just
There's no recombobulation area in Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we only have 2 minutes before we have to go to our first break. And so I want to at least set up. We're talking to Dan Schaefer. This is our new weekly segment where we're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at 10:30 on Tuesdays. I guess I started the show yesterday with this question, and I will ask you, Dan Schaefer, and then we'll talk more about it after the break. Do you think, should Tony Evers sign this budget?
I think he really has to consider vetoing the whole thing.
Really?
I think he really has to consider it. I know the governor's office has powerful line item powers and partial vetoes and all that, as he's used in the first two budgets that have passed. But this budget is really bad. It misses the mark on so many cases. It makes cuts when we should be making investments. I think he really has to think about vetoing it. Yeah.
So we'll talk after the break about what that would actually mean politically, logistically, because I think this is kind of the do or die week of we'll see. I think everything I've heard so far is as of yesterday, he was saying, I need to see the final budget before I would commit to anything, but it's not off the table, but also it could screw with the shared revenue deal, supposedly. And also when we come back, I want to at least touch on where Milwaukee is between the county board and the common council with approving the sales tax, because that is looming. So we are talking to Dan Schaefer. Stick around. We're recombobulating on As Goes Wisconsin.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday
to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Mostly sunny today and still a little hazy from those Canadian wildfires. 84 the high this afternoon. The wind west becoming southwesterly this afternoon, 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of scattered thunderstorms and a high right around 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Buck on the board today, and we are recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to be doing this every Tuesday at 10:30 as of today. And so with the 8 minutes that we have left, I want to touch on both where we are with the budget. So you said in the last segment that you think Governor Evers has to seriously think about vetoing what likely will be the Republicans' past budget. What does it look like if that happens? Do you think there's political ramifications for him or the Democrats if he vetoes this and we have to do this all again in October?
I think there would be. And I think, you know, there was some details that are a little bit beyond my understanding about like administering things in the shared revenue bill mm-hmm. or the education agreement and how exactly that would work out if Evers did go ahead and veto this budget. But I think with the line item powers that he has, he could do things like remove the tax break for the top earners, for the wealthiest Wisconsinites that Republicans want to be giving away the surplus to more or less.
Which is a reminder,
but they can't add anything quickly back into it.
Even if they cut that top bracket, the 7.6 to 6.5, the top earners still get a tax break based on because they are taxed incrementally at each level. So when you cut the lower tax brackets, everyone above them is also getting that same cut, just as a reminder. Sorry to cut you off.
Right. So, but he can veto these things out of the budget, but he can't put anything back into the budget.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like this cut to UW, that Evers has said he is not comfortable with. Obviously, he's talked about a veto with that, but he can't put funding back into the budget with this. So if he were to, you know, veto the whole budget, the legislature would have to come back, I believe, this fall to present something again. But I think considering how far Republicans have gone with this budget, he has to consider it, because I think if it was just, okay, let's meet in the middle on PFAS and childcare and the UW budget and all these different things. And, you know, okay, let's target the tax cut toward the lower brackets and whatever else. I think he'd be comfortable signing it just as he did for the last couple mm-hmm. budget cycles. But I think just considering how far Republicans have gone with how far they've pushed this budget to the right is one reason. But also, I think this is kind of the one opportunity that Evers would have to make this kind of move. He was just reelected, you know, by a larger margin than what he was initially elected by in 2018. You know, he's not going to feel the political ramifications the way that somebody who might be in their first term heading into some sort of reelection battle down the road might be. So is this his one opportunity to do that, to really stand firm on the budget, stand firm on the priorities that he ran on and won on? You know, I think that has to be part of the calculation here, too.
Well, and that's what I said, you know, in even for higher income Democrats or higher income independents who voted for Tony Evers, is there enough of a draw from the tax cuts that they would get in this budget to override why they voted for him in the first place and the different priorities they value? And I don't know if that's the calculation that some of the Republicans are thinking, that he's going to get pressure from his higher income voters, but I don't know how their brains work.
I don't think that's the reason at all. I think it would be more about like how to implement the parts of the shared revenue and education bills that would go forward. Also things like upping pay for public defenders and you know, people in the court system. That was, you know, I know you've talked about that on your show too. That's a really big issue. Other pay raises for state employees and things like that would have to go back to the drawing board. So I think that is probably more of the constituency that he would, you know, be contending with, and not just the self-interested high earners that have, I guess, gravitated a little bit more towards Democrats in recent years.
Yeah.
But I think people want to expand Medicaid. People want to fund childcare. People want to have paid family leave. People want to have all of these, you know, all of the 500 plus priorities that Republicans ripped out of this budget to get it started. Like, I think that's why people wanted to reelect the governor, because he was running on these things. And I think, you know, the top earners who might support Democrats are not supporting him because of their own personal pocketbooks.
The $1,200 or $2,000 tax cut they might get.
Yeah,
all right. Well, we only have a couple minutes, so we'll have to save a lot of this for next week. But I guess just initial thoughts on where we are with, so far, the shared revenue bill has been signed. It is now in the hands of Milwaukee's Common Council, Milwaukee's County Board, of whether or not we're going to get a sales tax. You wrote a really great article talking about how this is not a great deal, but we have to sign it. So what have you been hearing as far as what we can expect or kind of where it goes, at least in the next week, when you'll come back and we'll talk about this again?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a key committee vote that happened yesterday in the Milwaukee Common Council to kind of advance the sales tax. And it was, there was 6 in favor, 2 abstained, but nobody voted no. So I think even, you know, even the pessimistic council members like downtown Alderman Bob Bauman, who said this is never going to happen and the sky's falling, he even voted for it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think I think there were some key testimony from people, you know, from the legislature. Somebody like Representative Evan Goyke, who voted against the proposal in the legislature, came to the Common Council and said, you should vote for this because we can't get rid of the policy now that already passed and was signed into law. The dumb policy stuff is going to be there regardless of whether they fund the sales tax or not. So I do think, you know, and I think there was a reason that negotiators from the city and county level made it so this would be a 2/3 vote, because I think they understood that that's a threshold that they were going to be able to get to.
Yeah.
And so I do think this sales tax will likely pass. You know, the language that I used in my column that you referenced was, live to fight another day. And I've heard that phrase come up from Alderwoman Dmitrievich and Fire Chief Lipsky. I think that's kind of where the city's at. You have to pass this and fight another day.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we'll get into that more next week, unless something else more pressing pops up between now and then, which is always a possibility in this state. But definitely, if you are not subscribed to the Recombobulation Area, what are you waiting for? It's the best $5 you can spend. It's a coffee. It's a Frappuccino. That's it. Dan Schaefer, so happy that we're doing this and that we'll get to talk every week starting today. So we'll see you next week at 10:30 on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Kristen.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
And Greg.
We're taking a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to investigative reporter from Wisconsin Watch, Phoebe Petrovic, about her series on voucher schools. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.